It is our effort to create an electronic database of attorneys that are practicing before our immigration courts. That will enable us to capture that information and then be able to build on that toward the eventual electronic filing of forms, electronic filing of documents before our court systems. It basically involves a two-step process. Attorneys that want to practice before our courts first have to fill out an online form with some basic biographic information, create passwords, things like that, that will then produce an EOIR ID number for them. And then the second step is that they have to actually come in and do an in-person verification of identity. And this is something that's basically required of government agencies when they're doing similar programs, is to verify the information, the identity of somebody that wishes to appear before the agency. We require them to come in into one of our immigration courts or at the Board of Immigration Appeals, so we can verify their information and match it with what they produced on the online form.
So it's only been ongoing for about a month, month and a half now. What's the response been? I imagine people who are attorneys who are working with your court, but also other courts, are probably saying, finally, about time.
Yeah, this is so far it's been very, very positive. As you can imagine, attorneys that practice before courts want to be able to file electronically. This is something that, again, many of them are already used to doing in other courts. This is something that we have gotten repeated requests for over the years from private attorneys that, again, especially those that have high-volume practices before the immigration courts. So the response has been really quite tremendous. We're hearing great feedback. We're hearing a great response. So far, over 5,600 attorneys have registered for the program, or at least have filed an electronic form. We're in the process of verifying some of those, but the vast majority have already been verified. So we couldn't be happier with the response. It's been great, and we look forward to continuing for the rest of the year.
What took so long? E-government forms seems something that feels like 2004, 2005. What was the challenge you guys faced to get over the hump to get e-registry going?
Mostly it was budget challenges. We've been creating an infrastructure slowly over a number of years, and a large part of it was we were trying to do it, you know, with existing budget constraints. We were able to actually get an infrastructure together. So that was the single biggest challenge. The second challenge was just, you know, basically trying to decide exactly how we were going to do this. This became a priority for me when I became director a couple of years ago. I really wanted to move this project forward. So luckily, we have created a significant amount of infrastructure already, even with the budget constraints. So we have been able to move it forward over the last, you know, 6 months or so. But
the change that's happening from paper to electronic, how big of a deal is that for the Executive Office for Immigration Review? Is it just going to be a plus one, or is it a plus 10 or plus 100 change from your perspective?
It's a significant change for the agency just because of the volume of paper that we get in here. I mean, we get, I don't even have any estimates as to how much paper we use, but we have always been a paper-based agency. We get, as you can imagine, just hundreds of briefs every week, every motions, briefs, filings, forms. Immigration law is very paper intensive. There's a lot of forms, you know, there's a lot of multi-page forms that people have to use in order to apply for things. So it is a significant change for the agency. It is a very, very beneficial change, though, because we do expect significant budget savings with this. And let me just give you an example. If part of the whole electronic, you know, going to the electronic world is being able to send things back and forth between these, for example, the Board of Immigration Appeals and the immigration courts. If we're able to do that electronically eventually, we're able to save, you know, snail mail costs, FedEx costs, printing costs, you know, many of those costs that are predictable with a paper-based operation.
Do you have to change your processes internally at all? Do you have to change the way, for instance, are your computer systems ready to not only accept it, but your databases are there? I mean, I know you're not the chief information officer, but just broadly speaking, have you gotten requests from your CIO to say, hey, this is another money area that we need to spend some money in?
We have done a lot of prep work on this already. We have modified our internal electronic database system to be able to accept electronic filing of forms. We are able to do that in a limited capacity right now. For example, we're able to accept what are called entry of appearance forms by attorneys that that wish to appear and represent somebody in our courts. So we do have that capacity already, again, because we've been working on this on and off for a few years. We've been able to create that capacity with the internal database system. So I don't anticipate that this will be that we'll need to do significant additional work to the electronic system. There will be some. And yeah, the budget constraints are always going to be there. But I'm very confident that we'll be able to do this with fairly minimal internal work.
You mentioned a few benefits. What are some of the others that maybe people don't realize or aren't so obvious from an e-registry system?
We, like many other agencies, have significant concerns about fraud, and it is a significant problem within the immigration court system with people filing on behalf of immigrants who may not be the best lawyers around or who may actually not be lawyers, that we have a significant problem with, for example, with what's called the notarial problem, which is people that purport to be attorneys and actually are not, and then end up taking advantage of immigrants that appear before immigration judges. And not only do they serve their clients very badly, but they also make it very difficult for the courts to function when somebody like that appears. I do hope that part of the e-registry program will, one of the benefits of it will be that it will make it harder for people to do that. By creating a unique identifier, for example, I hope that that will reap benefits in terms of reaching organizations and individuals who should not be practicing before immigration courts and make it easier to combat that type of fraud.
You talked a lot about how e-registry is really focused on getting attorneys to register who work with EOIR. What about other agencies? For instance, I know you do a lot of work with the Homeland Security Department. Is that the future also, is to make it easier to share with whether it's the judicial system or other federal agencies?
It's really two different things, but it's the same concept. We do have already significant MOUs with other agencies, primarily DHS, to share information, and those will continue. In fact, they may even be enhanced by some of what we will be doing going forward. We do transmit records electronically to some federal courts for cases that are going into the federal courts. That will continue and probably expand as well in the coming years. So while that is different from the e-registry project, it is part of the larger concept of the efficiencies and savings and benefits that electronic processes bring over paper processes.
Let's talk about the future. What comes next for e-registry? I know you just launched it, so you probably feel like, let us enjoy the fruits of our labor a little bit, but you always are left to look forward. I'm sure you have a plan. What comes next? What are some of the other forms, and when do you foresee the system to be as complete as possible? I think no system's ever done.
We're focused on this year for the moment. We are requiring everybody to register, everybody that wants to register, to file electronically. We'll need to register by December of this year. So we have, five more months to go. We're focused on trying to get that done first and to make sure that we are capturing as many practicing attorneys as we can and facilitating it for them. This is a dynamic process. We are in constant dialogue with the private bar and with our organizations that practice before EOIR to make sure that we are facilitating this as much as possible. We don't want this to be a burden on anyone. We are very interested in seeing as many attorneys registered as possible because, putting this in a larger context, the representation of people before our courts is a constant challenge. There's no right to counsel, no right to appointed counsel in immigration proceedings. And so we need to rely on people being willing to come forward and register and represent people. And not only is that good for, of course, the folks that appear before us, but it's also good for the courts, and it's good for our judges and for our tribunals. So we are focused right now on trying to facilitate this and make this as easy as possible for the rest of the year. Before that, we'll take a look and see what is next. I do hope that we will move into the next phase pretty quickly after that. We haven't quite determined exactly what that next phase will be, but I think that it will involve some sort of electronic filing of some sort of documents in the not too distant future, and with an eye towards going fully operational in the next few years.